Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Let's talk about LeBron James, shall we?
Yeah.
He was named Western Conference Player of the Week after averaging just less than an assist shy of a triple-double over last week. It is LeBron's 62nd career Conference Player of the Week award. And his first this season. Do you want me to tell you that number again, Shannon?
How many?
62nd career Conference Player of the Week award. His first this season. Shannon, I said it twice for you. Did LeBron deserve it?
More than deserve. I wonder what took him so long.
Really?
Hey, Skip. You know, for me, like when I'm up here, and what I try to do for our viewers at home, I like to put things in context.
Please.
Because when you put it in context, you give them a frame of reference to like, okay, this and that. Do you know Kobe Bryant is second? Player of the Weeks.
Mm-hmm.
He has 33. That's second.
Wow.
He almost doubled him up.
Really? The media does.
Don't do that, Skip. Don't do that, Skip. Why would you do that? This ain't got nothing to do with this. This is the NBA.
Oh.
Hold on. This man averaged 28, 11, 9, and 9.7. So basically a triple dub.
Wow.
That was the only Western Conference team to go undefeated. I know everybody talking about James Harden. James Harden is unbelievable.
He's unbelievable.
Averaging 39.3 a game.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal. But old GOAT James. And I told you, Skip Bayless, I think you will agree with me, though, Skip. At no point in time last year, and especially after that groin injury, did LeBron James look as explosive as he does right now. LeBron James is on a mission, and I told you this. See, everybody's surprised, like, look how great LeBron played. I told you I foretold.
You did?
I foretold of stories. That's what I am. I'm a storyteller, Skip.
You're a seer.
Yes.
Yeah.
I told you what. I said, Skip. Y'all, Hazonia blocked this shot. Run it back.
Oh,
I mean, you just, the low light, and you still.
You want to see it now?
No.
I'd love to see it.
And you still bring up the man low light. But Skip, he's playing unbelievable. Yes, he deserved player of the week. He's been playing unbelievable, and he doesn't low manage. Just imagine, can you imagine if LeBron James could play every other game or no back-to-backs?
Oh,
he said, look here.
I like people.
He said, I don't know how many. It's kind of like, he said, I don't know how many games I have. Like I said, Jenny, my age, I'm 51, going to be 52 in June. I only got about 25, 30 summers left. See, I don't measure years, I measure summers. Because summer is bright, you know, sun comes. I only got about 25, 30 left. So LeBron James said, I don't know how many more NBA seasons I got. And the ones that while I'm playing, if I'm healthy, I'm going to go out there and give people their work. Ain't there no load manage. I don't do that. Because, you know, there might be some kid that scrunched up his money, sold lemonade, cut grass, mowed, collected tires or something, saved up all his little pennies, like my girlfriend say, pennies, to come see me play. And there here I am sitting on the bench. Nothing wrong with me, but I just want to load manage on the potential of I might, you know, save some. No, that ain't what we do.
I don't want to hear about another pool groin.
Hold on, time out. Did you worry about a pool groin with Michael Jordan? When he played 9 seasons of 82 games and another season with 80, when he was, how old was Michael? He played all 82 games, Jenny, at the age of 40. And I didn't hear Skip Bayless say one time about anything, him getting hurt. Now the man want to play, and he putting up historic numbers. He and AD, they're not just great. They're on a historically great pace. And now y'all want to minimize it. Here we coming. We want what's rightfully ours. The Larry O'Brien Trophy is going for to his rightful place.
Really?
El Segundo. It's going to be in El Segundo.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm going to get me a picture with it.
El Segundo, yeah.
So I'm thinking back to this past week, and wasn't it at Orlando that LeBron got body bagged by Bamba?
25-10, he had a triple dub.
Body bagged.
No,
at the rim, he got body bagged, and I'm surprised he sprang back to life in time to play on Friday at Miami.
Hold on. If I'm not mistaken, had Miami lost a home game this year?
No.
Who hung that L on them?
The Lakers finally did.
What you mean?
So what happened, given Western Conference Player of the Week, what happened in the first half at Miami? Help me out. The Western Conference Player of the Week, and I put big quotes around it, had 7 turnovers in the first half. It's hard to have 7.5.
No.
And I got to wonder if LeBron went back to South Beach and maybe stayed up a little too late night before, because it happens to everybody when they go to South Beach. You do that.
I'll go do that.
Maybe, I know. That's what I'm worried about.
Maybe you don't do that, but he is capable of doing that when he goes back to Miami. And he looked like he was completely out of it for a whole half.
Yeah.
And they trailed 59-51 at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
And LeBron said right after the game, my teammates got on my excuse my language, ass.
Got in it.
They got on my ass,
yeah.
He said after the game, and they told me I'm being too passive.
Dude.
He was just a little, like, you know, a little wiped out. From, yeah.
No, they went on like, and that's what I told you, Skip. I said sometimes I think he goes out of his way to try to get AD and others involved without looking for his shot. You can do two things. Mm. And he started doing that in that third quarter, in the fourth quarter, and we got out of there with a win.
Yeah, you got out of there barely with the win because you were up 8 in the fourth quarter with 3:26 to go.
Yeah.
I watched this game, and I'm thinking, this is over, and I told
you. It is. It was.
I can probably turn this off, and then I'm kind of, I got the remote. I'm like, she said, change the station. Change the station. We got to watch something else.
Yeah, what did she want to watch?
I'm like, hold on. Couldn't do it. Again? You got to hold on.
You were hoping. You were hoping.
No, I wasn't hoping. I was just amazed because LeBron took one shot in the last 3:26 of that game, a 17-foot sort of follow-away jumper, and he missed it. And here came the Heat.
Yeah.
So LeBron was not able to close, and with 4.2 seconds left, guess who had the ball in his hands, and a couple of Lakers kind of ran together, and all of a sudden, Jimmy Buckets. Jimmy Butler had a three to tie, and it was a pretty good look. It was a three to tie the game, and I was stunned by it, and Anthony Davis recovered in time to at least lunge sideways and get a little hand
DPOY,
up.
DPOY, Defensive Player of the Year,
you know
AD.
What? You know what? He was, how can I say that? WCPW. He was Western Conference. WCPW was Anthony Davis.
Anthony's already been there twice, Skip.
Yeah.
But let this sink in for a second. We went to Miami. We may or may not have partook in the Miami scene.
You may or may not have.
Hey, got what we did, Jenny. We hopped the flight to witness Bronny win the MVP against his alma mater.
And you know what? I got no issue with that whatsoever.
Awesome.
He deserved to go there. He should have gone there. I'm good with that.
I'm sure
it was hard on him.
And then guess what, Jenny?
What?
We came back and went to the A. And you know what happened to the A? Magic City, here we come. Oh, we throw that thing right.
So
rain.
Let's talk about what happened in the A to the quote-unquote Western Conference Player of the Week. The Atlanta Hawks are now 6-21, which is tied for the worst record in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
Only Golden State is worse in the NBA.
Yeah.
6-21 are
right.
The Atlanta Hawks. And the Lakers barely prevailed in this game.
Barely.
Because LeBron in the fourth quarter went 1-for-4 from the three-point line and 1-for-2 from the free throw line, and the Lakers shot it very poorly, and here came those lowly Hawks and actually made a game of it. Once again, a game of it.
What did you say? Hold on. What did you say about the Cowboys? What does everybody say about the Cowboys? The Cowboys get everybody's best. What do you think the Lakers get?
Okay. But the Hawks don't have much of a best to give
back. They got Trae Young, who's like fourth in the league in scoring. And you see them threes LeBron was hitting.
Yeah.
Ooh, Jenny.
So, here we go again. LeBron James with 15 seconds left in this game, 15.2 to be exact. He goes to the free throw line. It's a two-point game. If he makes both, it's over.
It was over
anyway.
It's over.
It was not over anyway.
Whatever.
And what happened with the first free throw? Whoops, LeBrick.
Oh.
Ooh, yeah, that was almost like a, that had air ball.
But you see this one?
Oh, that was it. We could see that one all day.
We already saw
that. Come on, LeBron, make it. Come on, LeBron.
You do realize,
you got to get it over the rim to make it go through the rim.
You do realize, hold on, that's not two missed shots. You do know that's the same one that you got to look.
That was the same free throw.
Yeah, exactly.
He did make the second one. But now it's a three-point game, and guess what happens at the other end? All of a sudden, Cam Reddish winds up with the ball in his hands in the far corner, and there you go, thanks to Vince Carter. That's a wide-open three, thanks to... it was LeBron's man. Wasn't it LeBron over there? LeBron, you got to get out there. He didn't even play defense
on
Cam Reddish.
Because that's Cam Reddish.
Wait, that's the Western Conference Player of the Week. It's LeBron James, and he didn't even get out on the shooter.
Skip.
Cam Reddish made a bunch of those at Duke now.
He won
the game at Florida State.
Yeah, he won one game.
Yeah.
But think about it. And everybody, and remember, his the rookie class said he's most likely to be rookie to have the greatest success long term.
Yep.
But with LeBron, didn't even move.
He didn't even move because
you know why? Because he ain't gonna make it. He ain't about that.
Year 17, he's not gonna play a lot of defense.
No, just hold on.
Yeah.
Hold
Pick
on.
Your spot.
Where is our defensive rating?
Yeah.
We're still top 10 defensive rating.
If that goes in, the Hawks are going to overtime.
2 of 7 when LeBron guarded a man on Sunday with 2 of 7.
Huh. So I think I just demonstrated what a bogus award.
No, this is good. Skip, don't do that.
It's fraudulent.
No, hold on. Skip, can I interest you in 28 11-10. Could I interest you that in 3-0?
The takeaway numbers always look good for LeBron, but you have to read between the lines. You have to see the 7 turnovers in the first half. You have to see the no defense.
Whoa. Hold on. Now, Jenny, now here's somebody when I say look at Dak Prescott, what he did in the first 3 quarters. Jenny, are there 4 quarters in a football game?
Yes.
Are you allowed not to play the 4th quarter? Okay, he had 7
did
in the first half.
What did you just put Dak Prescott in the same conversation with LeBron James?
So.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Stop it.
They do belong in this conversation.
I meant Bronny James.
Oh.
Yeah, Bronny James and Dak in the same sentence.
Yeah, because Dak is clutch, LeBron not so much.
Don't do that, Skip.
And he's got the late-game free-throw demons. They're just eating him alive.
What about them late-game threes that he hitting from Dahlonega? If you're from Atlanta, you know. Hit one from the Bluff in Cascade.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that? Did you watch the game Sunday?
I did.
So you saw them deep threes he was hitting,
The Lakers, Skip? He made 1 in the 4th quarter. He was 1 for 4.
They called him Logo LeBron.
Really?
He hitting from the logo. Go to Hulk.
Well, the one logo I keep looking at is the free throw percentage for the year.
Oh, that
and it
one.
Has plummeted to 68.3%. Last year he was 66.5, and you bet me he'd be 75 or above. So now he's got to hit like 100 straight to get back to 75.
All of them. Yep. Sorry, Shannon.
Yep.
You might as well just pay up.
This is your joke.
Might as well pay up.
But you know what, Skip? I mean, you couldn't give Superman all the superpowers.
Yep.
I mean, he got X-ray vision.
That is true.
I mean, but you couldn't give him a Batman belt,
and
you couldn't give him everything.
That is true.
He can't swim like Aquaman. I mean, just imagine you gave Superman all the superpowers.
He is a flawed superhero.
Don't do that, Skip Baylor. Stop.
Flawed.
Stop.
Yeah.
Everybody. Superman had kryptonite.
Yep.
Fonzie had liver. Mm-hmm. Everybody got a weakness.
Mm-hmm.
Every man got a weakness. So everybody got a vice, Jenny. Jenny is shopping, online shopping.
Don't call me out on that.
I didn't know Fonzie was a superhero.
No, I'm just saying, but everybody got a weakness. Every man got a vice.
What's yours? You want to admit it since it's
I might have made a couple of purchases over the last couple of weeks.
Oh, uh-huh. A couple nice things.
Couple
yourself?
Of nice things.
Treat yourself. Huh.
That might be making their way onto the gram.
The only weakness I see in you is debating. No
mercy. The Cowboys had no problem dismissing the Rams on Sunday. After the game, Dak Prescott and Sean Lee both credited the performance to Jason Garrett's motivational speech to the team on Saturday night. No laughing,
Sorry.
Skip. Come on. Sean Lee said it was the best one he has ever heard Garrett give.
Yeah.
Shannon, Garrett, how much impact do you believe this speech had?
Had a huge impact.
Huge impact.
Because, Skip, look, I think the biggest thing is that they're not used to hearing this kind of fire and brimstone speech from Red, Jason Garrett. And so it had to play some because this is the best we've seen them play. This was the best game that the Cowboys have played thus far this year, and it was against a team that had been playing very, very well. So we got to give him credit. We got to stop looking for reasons to blame him when the Cowboys don't play well instead of giving him credit when they do.
Mm.
And I thought they played extremely well. Now, maybe the Rams were overvalued, but that's another story. This is not about them. It's not a topic about them.
Mm.
So
you
I'm going to get
it.
No, I didn't. I'm gonna give Jason some credit, Skip, because I thought he did a great job of getting this team ready to play. Whatever his tactics were, it worked.
Yeah.
Now, will it work again this week or the week after? If they make the playoffs, who knows? But for one game, for 1 week, whatever he said, whatever buttons he pushed, whatever levers he pulled, it worked. So time for you and everybody out there to give Red the credit he deserves. So let me hear you say it. A round of applause for Mr. Jason Red Garrett.
Coach clap.
Clap.
Coach clap. What Jason Garrett did best came on Sunday when he clapped his tail.
Oh, man.
You know what? He butt slapped like there was no tomorrow. And I was impressed because I've never seen him butt slap as hard as he did on Sunday. Way to go, Red.
What about the video show?
Okay. I guess so. I hope it helped, but now I'm reading Dak's quote. He gave us the story about him playing baseball and what it means to be a team and about having each other's backs. Playing baseball?
Yeah.
So I looked it up because I didn't think Jason played baseball at Princeton, where he was a very good college quarterback.
Uh-huh.
But he did play, he was all something, all district or something in baseball.
Where? Is that Dakota?
No, in Ohio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know anything about his baseball career, and I don't know what story could be that inspirational from baseball transferring to football. But I hope it worked. You know, I hope.
It's about a team, Skip, and you having your brother's back, knowing that he can count on you, knowing that when things get tough, you got someone next to you.
Who can pick you up.
Yes!
That's correct. And Sean Lee said, it's one of the best speeches I've ever heard from him. Well, I think they haven't heard any from him, so if it's one of the best from him, that's probably not great, but okay. So I did actually sense a pulse in Jason Garrett after the game, if we could see what he said in the locker room, and look who's looking over his shoulder, and look who's looking over that shoulder, if we could see this video, please.
Hey, listen up. Just a hell of a job, guys. That's a hell of a job. It started on Monday when you came in. The way we practiced all week long, your mindset and your mentality to come to work, to wake in a one-day season. That's what we did all week long. Then we made it a one-game season. Okay, we knew what it was going to be all about. You guys got your mind right, your spirit right, and your body right to play the way we played. Okay, we talked about recapturing the DNA of our team, about team. Team was on display today. We talked about recapturing the DNA of our team, toughness. Toughness was on display today. The physical toughness and the mental toughness was all over our football team. Hell of a job to you guys. Hell of a job. You guys know where we are, though. You guys know where we are. We're right back at it. We talked about it all week long. This one's done. Now it's tomorrow.
Yes.
Tomorrow's a one-day season.
Yes.
Big time job, guys.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Surprise, Jerry. Huh. Interrupt him.
Huh? Did you see Jerry?
Yo, Jerry.
Yeah. And then I thought Jerry was going to nod off for a second.
Dude, I saw Jerry.
Jerry Jr. is looking over Jerry's shoulder, so he's checking out what the lame duck coach is saying.
They never miss an opportunity.
They do not miss
right
an
opportunity.
They right in
they
the
know where that camera's
line
going.
Of fire. They know where the camera is. They position themselves photogenically perfectly.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
They get it.
But Skip, you saw that? He said, this is the DNA. That's what he was talking about. This is the DNA of this team.
I do like that part.
But that's what he gave you.
Okay, here's the problem. If Jason made it a one-day season and then a one-game season, how far can you take that?
You take it.
Okay, so that worked last week.
Yeah.
Well, now this is the week,
right?
So you're going to make this a one-game season because you just made last week a one-game
everything,
season?
Everything, if I'm Jason Garrett, this is what I tell him. I said, everything we work for has come down to this.
Mm.
If somebody would have told you at the beginning of the season, our season's going to come down to one game against the Philadelphia Eagles, our most hated rivals, over the last couple of years. This is it. This is the moment. This is why you lift all those weights. This is why you run all those laps. This is why you eat the way you eat. Everything that we want is right here for the taking.
Mm.
Let's go take this, man. Let's go back and be NFC East champs when we get on that plane and head back to Dallas. Now, let's go do it.
Can I send you to Philadelphia on Saturday night? I'll pay your way there if you'll do that, and if they will let you. Shannon Sharpe, he could light the biggest bonfire under my team that's ever been lit. I would take that. Would you do it?
No.
You would not do it?
I don't want to get involved in
No.
Here. But maybe. I would go to Alabama. Coach Saban, come get your boy. Let me talk
really?
To the team.
They need a lot of help.
No, they don't.
A lot of help.
But
you know what? Jason Garrett should take a tape of what you just said and play it for the team on Saturday night. Shannon Sharpe, one of your biggest haters, says this. And I think they would want to run through the walls of the hotel.
But here's a part of being a great motivator is that you have to be believable. And so when, you know, he had to go to something that he could relate to and he knew they could relate to, and that is team. He's not lifting no weights, he's not eating, and he's not running, he's not doing all these things, but they did.
Okay, and I do like the concept of get back to your DNA.
Right.
Because I've been saying all year, this team's really good.
Their DNA.
Yeah.
Jenny, what's their DNA? We ran the football.
Mm-hmm.
See, running the football is about physicality.
Oh.
It ain't about no tricking. We just lined up and we hand Zeke the ball. We lined up and we had Tony Pollard the ball.
Mm.
It's about moving. Yep.
Boy, you're acknowledging
Sunday.
Tony Pollard is part of this.
Sunday.
The very essence
of football is about the Dallas Cowboys. Football was about moving a man against his will.
Mm.
You think Aaron Donald wanted to move 2 yards from the line of scrimmage?
Mm.
What about Brockers? What about Fowler?
Wait, did Aaron Donald play on Sunday?
They moved.
I don't remember him. He's
out there?
That's
who we are.
Oh, okay.
So you tell them that. Look, you show them a tape. This is who we are at our best.
Good. Love
it. This is it.
Yep. Okay. I'll take that. Run it 50 times.
Tell them, say, you know what? Guys, look here. I'm going to be all the way honest with you. If we don't beat this team by 2 touchdowns, we should be embarrassed.
Mm.
We're better than they are.
I don't know if I'd go that far. But
we're better than they are. We're more well-coached than they are. We're bigger, we're stronger, we're faster. Mm. We're a better team than the Philadelphia Eagles. Mm. Now, we put ourselves in this position, but we can get ourselves out of this position in one game.
One game. I love it. Jason, take that tape, splice it with the previous tape, and you got yourself a motivational speech.
Hey,
go for it.
I would do like the Patriots. I can erase this and everything will be forgotten, right? if I erase this, everything is good?
Just like that. It's gone.
I think you can't help it. I think we got it. I'll send it to Jason.
No!
He needs you badly.
Dougie P, let your boy come talk to the Eagles.
Oh, really? You want to talk to those guys?
Yeah, I want to talk to the Eagles.
Okay, well, what's the flip side of that speech? Are you going to say, you guys aren't good enough, you guys embarrassed yourselves all year, and now you're in a predicament, you're in a quandary that you cannot get out of because a better team is coming to your house and is going to humiliate
you on
your
field? That's what you do, you tell them. Everybody's saying after what they saw Sunday that the Dallas Cowboys is now the best team in football. And they're coming into your building, and they're coming to take something away from you.
Mm.
What they're coming to take away from you is the NFC East title.
Yep.
But it's in our house.
Mm.
We get control our
destiny.
Actually,
we are the defending champs.
No. Okay. But it's in our house. We control this.
Mm.
So when a man comes to your house and try to take something for you, what wouldn't you do to make sure he doesn't get it?
Mm.
But that's what I want.
Okay.
Fletcher Cox, I need you to show up for me.
Mm.
Barnett, Brandon Graham, I need you to show up for me tomorrow.
They're capable.
Everybody's saying, look at our offense. They got Greg Ward, and they don't really have anybody. I want us to block our ass off. Lane Johnson, I don't want DeMarcus Lawrence to see walk it to him unless it's the coin toss.
Not sure he's going to be able to go, but we'll see.
Y'all, they number.
Yeah.
When we walk off that field, they will remember.
Huh. So now you got competing inspirational speakers. And I will take the first
one. I'm going to the highest bidder. Who paying?
Seriously.
The second one sounded like it was a bunch of phony baloney.
No. Yep. No, they believe. Mm. They believe, Skip. They hear what you said.
Mm.
Are we going to talk about this a little later, but nobody wants to face the Cowboys now. A team that lost 5 or 7 games, nobody wants to face because of one game.
Mm.
Well,
Skip coined a term about 5 years ago. It's called being a prisoner of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, if I'm not mistaken, he has become the very thing that he despised the most, and that's becoming a prisoner of the moment.
That wasn't a moment, that was 3
hours. No. The moment has just happened.
A pep talk from you, though. I had a big event. I feel like you could do that on the side, like make some money on the side.
I got a little side hustle.
Yeah.
Well,
motivational speaking.
My regular hustle take up most of my time.
Yeah, you don't have a lot of free time, but, you know, if needed, I think he's available for hire. No mercy. An anonymous NFL exec thinks the Patriots may have held back their defensive game plan when they lost to the Ravens week 9 this season. The exec said that they would defend Lamar differently if they faced Baltimore in the playoffs, and that if they could shut down the Rams in the Super Bowl last season, then they could do the same with Lamar and the Ravens. Fox Sports NFL analyst and former Patriot James Harrison joining us this morning. But I will start with Shannon on this one. Do you believe there's any truth to this?
Hell no. And it's coming from an exec that doesn't win much, because that's a loser's mentality. That's how fans think. Fans sometimes think, well, they lost the game. Well, they weren't playing hard. Were they not playing hard against the Texans?
Mm.
What about Kansas City? Mm-hmm. You mean to tell me I put this work in and Coach Belichick is not going to give me his best effort forward?
Okay.
The coaches always demand their players give them their best effort in the meeting room, on the practice field, and come game time. And now a coach is going to hold back? That's disrespectful. And I guarantee you this exec is on a losing team and has not won much, because that's a loser's mentality. Because here's Skip. I've always felt that if I play a team twice, if I lost, I have an advantage, because I can have the guys' undivided attention because we lost. And I can show them exactly why we lost.
Mm.
First Super Bowl run, we beat Pittsburgh, we lost the first time to them. We beat Kansas City, we lost the first time to them. Because Mike can go back and point to everything that we did wrong and why we lost the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, if they play again, they could possibly lose. The Patriots are well coached. They don't make a whole lot of mistakes. And you have to meet that fire with fire by not making mistakes and playing well. But to suggest that the reason why the Patriots lost is because they gave less than their best effort is foolish.
Mm.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's asinine. And I can't even believe that an NFL exec would even let that come out of his mouth, Skip, because you know how much time guys put in. You know the effort. James, you know the effort that coaches and players put in a week, and they said, okay, we good. No! We played the Dolphins, Skip, and that we gave it everything we could. They just beat the hell out of us, and Mike had us out the game midway through the third quarter. That wasn't like we didn't give our best effort, because we wanted to win. We played them again. We blitzed them. But that didn't have anything to do with it. Mm-hmm. And so I take offense to this, that he said this, that a team gave anything less than their best effort when the games are so valuable. Skip, it's not like basketball where you can load manage, or baseball when you got 162 games. It's 16. Seeding and even making the playoffs are of the utmost, and every game is magnified. Yes.
Yeah, I agree with Shannon. It's no way they came out there and gave their less than their best.
Or
I
he believe, gave less than his, like he kept some things back.
No, it's no way. He's not keeping anything back. You want that number one seed. Even though they were undefeated at that time, you still want to hold that number one seed. Everybody wants to play at home. It's no way he comes in there with less than his best game plan. I think this so-called NFL exec may have a little bit of inside information that now they believe they have a plan that could be way more effective against him playing against him and having that happen, you know, the way it did. Now, I think that may be a case. Correct. But no one goes into a game plan saying, you know what, I think I may have to see them again. So I'm going to give less than my best. I don't want to give them everything. I don't want to put all the game plan out there so they know, you know, what's going to come next time and they'll be prepared for it. There's no way you're doing that.
Hmm. So remember, we're talking about the evil genius of the evil empire here. Mm-hmm. So is he capable of saying, okay, this time I think I can beat him just playing man-to-man. Next time I'm going to play some zone so Lamar can't run wild on me. You know, like you could switch, flip the script on him, right?
Well, yeah.
Okay. So I think there might be a little truth to this, but it is counterintuitive that you're playing a team that you don't want to have to play in their place again.
Thank you.
Like,
right.
like in the end, you don't want to have to go back to Baltimore.
Right.
Of all the teams in the AFC, I would give the Patriots the best chance to win at Baltimore just because of Belichick and Brady in their capability of figuring it out. I think nobody can figure it out better than those two. If you give them some time to let it sink in, and now they'll have like a month and a half to
Skip, even with them going in there, and you, like you said, they did man-to-man and we'll try zone next time. He thought that was his best plan right then. Right. He's not coming in there saying, you know, my better plan would be zone, but I'm going to play man-to-man.
I assume so. But will you give Belichick this? He could be seeing way down the road thinking, I don't know if we could win this game tonight, but if we have to come back here, we'll beat him a second time.
But what happens, Skip?
Possible.
What happens if you got to face Kansas City before you get to Baltimore?
Well, it's
or you got to face the Houston Texans? Yeah.
Okay, well, it's probable that would be at Foxborough. So, again, we've seen them lose at Foxborough.
Right.
So, right now, they can't score, so they're going to have a hard time. But they're going to have to figure it out on the fly. So, if we look back at this game, what really happened? It wasn't quite as bad as the 37-20 seems, because remember, it was 17-13 at halftime, not terrible, and 24-20 after three quarters. Then Lamar and company outscored them 13-0 in the fourth quarter, and 37-20 seems pretty bad, right?
Oh, yeah.
The worst stat of this game was Baltimore controlled the ball 37 minutes to Brady's 23 minutes.
Right.
Can't do it.
Right.
You're not going to beat them. If you let them run, literally run over you.
Right.
That's what will happen. And it wasn't Lamar who did the most damage. It was actually Mark Ingram, because he went 15 times for 115 yards. Well, that's almost 8 yards a carry against the vaunted New England. Right. That won't work.
Well, I think they might have came into that game plan with the idea of, let's do what we can to get the ball out of Lamar's hands unless he's passing the ball so that he's not running on us.
Right.
And make Ingram run the ball. Well, they were able to do that, and he did it effectively. So, like I said, I think this so-called exec has a little inside information, and they're saying, you know what? Next time we see them, you know, we have, or we're looking at a game plan that I feel is way better than the one we use.
You could be right. The runaway MVP did not kill them that night because, again, Lamar was 17-23, which is high percentage, for 163, a touchdown and no interceptions, but he ran it 16 times for only 61 yards. That's 3.8 a carry. That's not what he usually does to people, right?
Right. But see, the thing is, Skip, for them, it's not so much a Lamar, you know, he wants to break off those big runs, but they control the clock. See, is he? They feel as long as we don't turn the ball over, yep, the likelihood of Tom Brady moving the ball, unless it's a short field, mm-hmm, because their offense is not as explosive as it used to be.
Nope.
Skip. That's why he's taking Coach Belichick is taking more chances,
yep,
going at the punts, mm-hmm, or defense playing zero coverage, trying to get short fields for his offense.
That is
because
true.
He knows they can't consistently move the ball as they once could. So this notion that, oh, it's like, Skip, you remember they lost that game to Miami that year. They had home field. They beat Miami. Denver now has to go to them. They lose. They got to go to Denver. Denver beats them. Last year.
You mean the year they wind up in Denver?
The year they wind up in Denver, yes.
Hey, remember, they had the Jets. They went to overtime. Belichick won the toss in overtime and deferred.
Deferred. And, huh? And they go right down, huh, the field and
scored.
Fitzpatrick, if I'm not mistaken.
He did.
Goes right down the field and score. Last year.
Lost.
You think, oh, well, who cares if we got to go to Kansas City? They weren't trying to lose that game to Miami. Miami just pulled off a miracle play.
It was a miracle.
And they had to go, and they pulled it out. Tom Brady is 20-3 at home in the playoffs.
Yeah.
The Patriots would rather play at home.
Okay,
You're not conceding any games, Skip. They're too valuable.
And like the time of possession you said, they got the ball 37 minutes. Their defense is sitting over there rested, ready to go. So as soon as they get in there, they're going 100 miles an hour. The offense of the other team hasn't even got enough time to get into a groove.
Right.
And out there long enough.
Just what you got to do. You got to throw Brady's rhythm off, Skip.
Well, his numbers weren't terrible. Brady went 30 of 46 for 285. And guess who caught 10 balls for 81 yards? The now forgotten Mohamed Sanu. Mm-hmm. So that was his peak. After that, he just disappeared. Mm-hmm.
But think about it, Skip. 10 for 86. That's 8 yards. Nothing. There are no explosive plays. You got to get, 286 on 46 mm-hmm. attempts.
I know. And guess who went 4 for 4 in the red zone? Lamar did.
Exactly.
Brady went 2 for 4 in the red zone. Ball game, right? Mm-hmm. And what play turned that whole game around on Lamar's opening drive? They got it down to 4th and 3 at the 6, and they were stymied, and they said, we got to kick a field goal and just go 3.
Lamar said, no, let's go.
Okay, no.
No, it was a penalty.
They jumped offside.
They jumped offside.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick's defense had a neutral zone violation on a field goal, and it's a touchdown.
Yeah.
Okay, they don't do that.
And the thing that
and I will bet you next time they won't do that.
And that's why they wouldn't hold back, because they did all that at home with no noise. You think they want to have to do that in Baltimore?
Ooh. Hey.
That's a good point. No mercy.
Seahawks receiver Josh Gordon has been suspended indefinitely after violating the league's substance abuse and performance-enhancing drug policies. This is the 5th time Gordon has been suspended over the course of his NFL career. So, Shannon, what is your reaction to the news about Josh Gordon?
Skip, I think now we got an insight, an inclination of why the Patriots moved on. I think they had a feeling this was going on or this was coming down the pipeline. And they moved on before. Skip, I remember when I was on your old show.
Yep.
Back in 2014 when this first broached.
Yep.
And I was angry. Because I'm like, how can someone that's been given so much, given such a great opportunity, with so much God-given immense talent,
yep,
squander an opportunity like this? How can a guy that has $30, $40, $50, $60 million at his fingertips and just like, no, this is what I want to do? And yesterday, I found myself just sad. He can't help it. He has a problem, Skip. It's an illness. Mm-hmm. It is like cancer. It's like diabetes. Any disease that's afflicted. It's afflicted him, and he got his hooks in him. And he cleans himself up for a little while, but he can't stay clean. And the NFL, Skip, the mere fact that the NFL is giving him this many opportunities. You know, Josh Gordon's only 28 years of age.
28.
Jenny said he's been suspended 5 times. I think 2 or 3 of those times have been indefinite.
He's 28.
They're doing everything they possibly can, Skip, but they can't monitor you 24 hours a day. I'm just sad. I just wish he could get with people in his life and he could surround himself with people. And when they see him start to turn left when he should go right or keep straight ahead, they were like, nah, Josh, not today. Mm-hmm. Because for a short period of time, Skip, he can clean his act up, but he just can't keep it clean. And I'm just sad because Skip, you know, because for me, when I look at it and I'm like, and it took someone that had this has a similar situation. And it's like, Shannon, obviously you don't have an addiction, but it's like you're hungry. And you know when you're hungry, you make bad decisions when you're hungry. They say, you know, if you have your skip, if you want a meal plan, you have a healthy lifestyle, if you have accessible, great food to eat, you more have to eat it. It's when you become hungry and you don't have it when you make bad decisions. Mm-hmm. That's the tug. That's the pull.
Sure.
That's in Josh Gordon that he can't let skip. The man has thrown away $60, $70, $80 million. He has Julio Jones ability. He's 6'3.5", 230 pounds, and could run 4.4.
Yeah.
He led the league in receiving 1 year, Skip, and missed two games. That's the kind of ability this young man had. I'm afraid, Skip, and I hope I'm wrong. I'm a guy like, how many chances is enough? NFL, give me as many chances as you can. Skip, I'm afraid that without the NFL, I'm afraid the direction that he's really going to go in. I think the NFL has allowed him to stay clean for as long as he did stay. I'm just afraid, Skip, I'm hurt. I'm sad. I'm big into personal accountability, but he just can't help himself. Mm. He just can't help himself.
Which is why I have gone from sad to angry about all this. I've been around Josh Gordon a couple of times, and I liked him a lot. Tom Brady loved this young, still young man at 28 years of age. He's smart. He's cool. He's fun to be around. And he obviously has an illness or sickness or whatever you want to describe it as.
Correct.
He has an addiction. He's happier high.
Yes.
And we've seen a lot of people in life who are just, in the end, they're just happier, either drunk or high.
Yes.
And they just say, I don't care what God gave me, I'm just happier this way. Mm-hmm. And he continues to show you, I'm happier this way.
Right.
And the NFL keeps saying, no, you can't do that. So you flunked another test. So now it's five times. And to me, I hate to say this, but the NFL keeps enabling him to come back again and again and again. And he just goes through cycles of, okay, I'll play for a while, but that doesn't make me that happy.
Right.
I gotta be happier high. And maybe I can beat the test, and I'm sure he's beaten a whole bunch of them over these many years, because he's played a good while.
Right.
And I think back to 2013, there were games where I said, that's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We saw he was on an arc in 2013 to be in the Hall of Fame.
The reason why Coach Belichick traded for him, Coach Belichick saw what he did to his team when he was in Cleveland. He went for like almost two bills on Coach.
He did. And yet, if you really look back at his career going back to college, he had all these same issues at Baylor right away. And he was a top recruit in the country.
Yeah.
He was everybody wanted.
Lucked out of Baylor. He went to, tried to go to Nebraska, couldn't get it.
And then he went to Utah.
Utah, that's where he went.
He went to Utah and he didn't play a down because he couldn't even get eligible to play at Utah.
And even, Skip, and even with that, when you no matter what your issues are, once you come into the NFL, Skip, you start with a clean slate. And within a year, he was already suspended.
I know.
So, Skip, this is...
And then 2 years ago, he was suspended indefinitely, and he wound up out here in an apartment with Johnny Manziel. Yeah. And trust me, they did Hollywood. And it was some wild times. But he knows deep down, oh, they'll have me back at some point.
Well,
okay.
Skip, let this sink in for people at home. If you are... When you do something and the consequences are unimportant to you, or the financial gain that you could reap are unimportant to you, that's an addiction.
It is.
Skip, it doesn't matter that he's gonna get suspended. It doesn't matter that he's flushed $60 million. That's not normal behavior. A normal, prudent, rational person says, there's no way I'm gonna do this and lose $60 million. There's no way I'm going to lose this in this opportunity to provide for my family because, and Josh came from a very similar situation. I'm sure most of the NFL players come from very similar situations, very impoverished situations where we want to make better for our families, make a better life for if we were to have kids, that they're better, not only do better, but I can tell them and instruct them better than what I was. But for him to like, to forego all of that, because he can't, like you said, he would rather be this.
He would.
And when I heard people, what's wrong with it? Smoke. Skip, it's like the NFL tells you when they're going to give you the test. They test you one time a year before the start of the season. And if you get popped with marijuana, one or two things, you're two D's. You're either dumb or you're dependent.
I agree.
So he can't. Skip, I'm huge on personal accountability. But he can't help it. Mm. And I'm just, my heart just broke. I was like, damn.
I got
it. And then he got a PED. So what I'm thinking he's like, he knew he was dirty. And then he tried to clean, he tried to mask it.
He did.
So that's what happens. Mm. And now it's like, bruh.
That's messy.
I just wish
that. Seems like a lot of trouble to go through.
Okay, that's Shannon Sharp. Part. Tell me what would happen in any other line of work. If you're working for any other company in this country of ours, if you keep doing that, what happens?
They let you go.
They just let you go. They just say no. Okay? So is that what he needs? Does he need somebody just to say no to him?
Skip, I'm afraid what happened to him if they just say no. But the thing is, Skip, even when the football say, yeah, he can't stay, he ends up right back to where he was, back to square one. And I remember, he got into it with a lot of different guys when Chris Carter reached out to him and he's like, I'm not, I don't have an addiction. I'm not, bruh, I'm not trying to tell you anything wrong. I'm not trying to tell you anything to hurt you. Mm. I'm trying to help you. I know you got to live one day at a time. Mm-hmm. But Skip, Skip, he's 28 and he's been suspended 5 times. He spent more time away from the game than he spent in the game. And for whatever reason, not the financial, not the fame, not the ability to provide for your family, none of that matters. So that's what that's telling you. When you have an addiction, nothing else matters.
Yep.
Not your family, not fame, not fortune, nothing matters but that what you are addicted to, mm-hmm. be it drugs, be it shopping, be it whatever the case may be. And so Josh Gordon is telling you guys, look, I know what I could be if I were to clean my act up, mm-hmm. but I'd rather do this.
Remember the last time he got suspended, the Patriots said, we're going to keep him on our side.
Yeah.
Right? They did not cut him.
Right.
And he came back and played for a while. So I know what he's thinking. Okay, so I got popped again.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll be gone the whole next football season, but I'll still be only
29
years of age. Somebody will give me another chance. That's what he's thinking.
Yeah. I just feel bad for him. Mm-hmm. I just wish he could kick it, but he can't.
I'm
not going to say he hasn't. He hasn't.
Yet.
That is true.
And is very capable, but you just hope that he has the support system in place.
Yes.
Because I think all of us have known someone dealing with addiction, and the support is just as important as the treatment. So hopefully he can find that, and we'll be wishing him well. No mercy. It's being reported that Julian Edelman is now dealing with a tendon issue in his left knee in addition to other minor injuries. After the Patriots' win over the Bengals, Edelman said, quote, everyone has some sort of injury but would not confirm what it was he's dealing with. Meanwhile, it was rookie receiver N'Keal Harry who finally stepped up and found the end zone on Sunday, drawing praise from both Brady and Belichick. So, Shannon, how much trouble are the Patriots in at receiver?
Well, they would be in serious trouble because he's their best receiver. He's their most consistent receiver. He has the best chemistry with Tom Brady. He's the guy that moves the chain, that keeps those chains, that keeps Tom Brady on the field, keeps that defense rested so when they come out there, when they can put together these long drives. Because, Skip, they don't have a splash player that can, the Randy Moss or the guy that can take you over the top like that now on their roster. So if he were to have to miss some time or he's struggling, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for them to move the ball. There's only so many times you can throw the ball to the running back, Skip. And that's what they had become before N'Keal Harry, and he only caught 2 passes, I think, Sunday.
Yep.
They have become Edelman and James White. They throw 20 targets at those two guys. They normally come down with somewhere between 13 and 15 of those, mm-hmm. and then you try to get a big play on the defense. This is why, Skip, Coach Belichick is trying to block punts and playing a lot of zero coverage, trying to create turnovers, because he knows that consistently his offense now can't move the ball. They got that one drive, Skip, and then they struggled after that to move the ball until Cincinnati started turning the ball over, giving them short fields. And see, that's the thing. Look at Tom Brady and LeBron. You see, people last year thought LeBron had dipped because his impact of the game wasn't the same. Well, when you don't have a left, now you look at LeBron now that he has AD, he has somebody, Skip, that can help him impact the game. Well, maybe if Tom Brady had a viable option other than Edelman, had some more weapons, maybe his play, you wouldn't think that his play has slipped. But because his play has slipped a little or he doesn't have the level of talent around him, now you're starting to see what Tom's like. Dang.
Yeah.
Okay, granted, I'm not in year 10 anymore, but I ain't this bad.
Plus, they can't protect him the way they used to.
Consistently. Correct.
Like last night, Drew Brees got protected all game long.
Yeah.
It gave him time to say, no, yes.
Yeah, he got flushed. He got flushed one time and he ended up throwing a touchdown on that one, but I think he got it called back.
Mm-hmm. He did. And he's a little more nimble at his age than Tom is at his age. So, this is Tom Brady's greatest challenge because no weapons, no real offensive line. They did run the ball some, but remember, at Cincinnati, you're going up against the 29th worst run defense. So what am I supposed to read into it? They got 175. Sony had 19 for 89, and then Burkhead got loose late.
Right.
He added 53 and one long touchdown run. Can you trust that going forward? Probably not.
No.
So I'm going to say this again. This team will ironically, shockingly, go as far as N'Keal Harry carries them. And he is a raw rookie who missed the first half of the year because he's on IR. And to me, it's going to be Brady's greatest challenge, Josh McDaniel's greatest challenge, Belichick's greatest challenge. They are talking him up because they need to speed up his maturation.
Mm-hmm.
And as you pointed out, they don't do rookies. They don't like rookies.
Yeah. They
never
have.
They don't have to trust rookies.
Nope. Oh.
I see him as your only hope. Because I'm not saying he's Randy Moss, but he's got a little bit of that going on, just a little bit. I want to show you one play from Sunday that gave me hope. It's early in the second quarter. If we could see Tom's throw to N'Keal Harry, because they're going to have to do this again and again. Now, look at this. Okay, that's that guy.
Right.
Guess what? That play got nullified by a penalty on Julian Edelman, who quietly false started on the opposite side of the formation and nobody even knew the play was dead.
Right.
But can you see? Okay, is that possible?
Yes. Skip White, this might be Brady's greatest achievement. It's also probably, I think, one of his easiest because he's not going to have to get to very many points. Can he get to 17?
Okay.
Because that's the question.
Okay, but that guy, number 15, he's going to have to help him get there.
Yes,
so
yes.
What did they try to do?
Right.
They handed it to him on little jet sweeps twice.
Right.
And he did okay. He ran twice for 22 yards. He caught two balls for 15, but he did catch the touchdown.
Correct.
And Belichick gave him high marks because the DB tried to shove him out of bounds, which is the correct play to make.
Right.
And the kid kept his balance and fought back along the end line and got loose after Tom finally did have some time to throw.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we saw that. We saw the splash play that against Kansas City that should have been a touchdown, wasn't a touchdown, and we saw the touchdown pass against Dallas.
Skip, one of the biggest things that you notice the difference between the Patriots this year and years past, they can't overcome turnovers. Because their offense is not nearly explosive enough. And if Tom turns the ball over and put that defense on short fields, it's hard for them to overcome that. I believe the magic number for them, especially if they at home, would probably be 20 points. It's going to be tough sledding for someone in their building to get to 20. Now, the question is this year, do you believe Tom can get to 27 or 31 or what it's going to probably take if he has to go on the road and, say, face a Baltimore?
Oh.
You're going to have to get the 30, Skip.
I would agree.
I believe you have to get the 30.
And I'm not sure he has the weapons or just the firepower. Right. I don't know if he can get to 30.
He's definitely going to have to. He's going to need Julian Edelman, Skip. I'm not so sure that. I don't know who they played this week, but I might have to sit Edelman down.
Buffalo.
You can't sit him down against Buffalo.
Well, I don't know. I think he is so beat up.
He is.
And he was a shell of himself. He caught two balls for 9 yards. He caught one for 11 and one for -2.
Right.
That's it. That's Julian Edelman, Super Bowl MVP.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, now he's got a bad knee. I know he's had a bad shoulder and ribs all year.
Right.
So he's on the injury report from multiple injuries. And there's been a lot of conjecture up in Patriot Nation. Should they sit him for the last two games and just try to get him remotely healthy for the playoffs?
I mean, you might, because you do get if they can get that number 2 seed, Skip, they will get a bye week, and that would help him heal some. But he might be even too, you played these last two games, he might be too beat up to even heal up from that week off.
Well, they're still 6.5-point favorite over Buffalo, who's third in defense. I don't know how.
It's going to be tough.
I don't know how.
Buffalo's good defensively.
They are really good.
They're playing well right now.
Yep.
Tom always seems to figure it out, but at some point, you can't do it if you don't have any support.
Right.
No mercy. Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.